Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 20 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, great friend of mine, great friend of the show's, Brian Howell of Buff Zone. Brian, my man, it's always good to catch up with you. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you doing this offseason?
You know, it's been a weird offseason. It just seems to get weirder for everybody. And Brian, everybody's going through the portal stuff. We're talking about NIL stuff, but man, it does seem like the Buffs, and I'm not like trying to single them out, but it does seem like the Buffs were hit pretty damn hard with the transfer portal news.
Yeah, although in the latest round, nothing. So it seems like things have kind of settled down for them. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, you look at what's going on around the country, and I think it was such a big deal in the winter. Obviously, you know, they did get hit hard. I'm not going to, you know, try to say they didn't, right? They did get hit hard, but you look around and, I mean, ASU has been hit hard as well. I mean, they've lost some of their best players. You know, you look today, and now, you know, Pitt receiver Jordan Addison is in the transfer portal, the Blitnikoff winner. So, you know, there's a lot of really good players that have left their teams and have got hit pretty hard. So, you know, it's a crazy world right now, and the Buffs somehow weathered it and managed to avoid having more players leave this spring.
Well, and it's worth asking now, and most of the time, Brian, it does seem like this is just the nature of the beast now. I mean, the coach can be the greatest guy in the world or the worst. You're going to see a fairly similar amount. I mean, we're seeing guys left and right. I mean, we were just talking about a really good defensive lineman for UNC that we saw at spring ball last week who looked happy and engaged and pumped. And then the next day he says, hey, I'm in the transfer portal. So, again, I don't know that we can always go to something wrong, but, Brian, we have to ask the question. I mean, is there any deeper thing going on other than this is the nature of the beast? And just Colorado's certainly had their time with it.
Yeah, I think it's just the nature of the beast. And, you know, there was a player, the last 2 weeks of the season last year, when I would interview players, I would ask them, hey, what are you kind of thinking here? And there was one of them I asked point blank, are you looking to transfer? He said, no, I'm not going anywhere. A month later, he was in the transfer portal. And he's playing for somebody else right now. So you just never know. I mean, I think it's the nature of the beast. You know, I think these players are hearing things from a lot of different people. And, you know, I think that right now it's still very new. I mean, it was a year ago in April that the rules were allowed that people could transfer without sitting out a year. So, and NIL came up last summer. So this is all very new. I think it settles down over time, but this is the first year of it, and a lot of people are taking advantage of it.
I'm with you. I do think that it's going to settle down at some point. I think players are going to see other stories out there of grass isn't always greener, NIL deals getting you into trouble. What? Not necessarily trouble, but just maybe too much time spent on everything. I do think that a lot of it's going to round out. It doesn't mean it's going to clean up, you know, all the way, but I think some of it will actually round out in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think so, and I think you know, to me, the NIL was set up for, you know, I think of people like Jeremy Bloom, who we all know, and it's years ago. Mm. Maybe a lot of the young people don't remember him, but, you know, he fought his battle with the NCAA years ago when he was a senior football player and ended up being ruled he couldn't play football because of his skiing endorsements. He was an Olympic skier. I think it was set up for people like that. It's set up for people like a Caleb Williams, who's going to be a big-time star, you know, like Trevor Lawrence used to be, things like that. You know, you see, really now every player is almost out there saying, hey, please throw me some money. Well, there's not all that money to be thrown around. And, you know, I think that over time players are going to realize there's not a lot of money out there. It's for a select few, and that's where it's going to settle down. And I think that we'll see some of that kind of even out. And, you know, you look at the transfer portal and, you know, I think coaches and schools like to throw it out. Look at how many people have gone in the portal and not found a new home. So there's a lot of guys that have given up scholarships for something that really isn't there.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. It's a completely different world that we're navigating through, and I think student-athletes are looking more and more into it as well, and we're going to see. It's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing kind of plays out. How's Carl Durrell doing? You talked to him quite a bit, Brian. How's he doing with all this stuff? We've talked to him off and on about this stuff, but man, it absolutely is chaos right now, regardless of how this thing's going to wrap up. But how's Coach doing?
Yeah, I think he's adapting. I think, like a lot of coaches are. And I don't know, I don't follow a lot of programs as closely as I do Colorado, obviously. So I don't know how well he's adapting as opposed to others. But I think everybody's trying to adapt right now. And for Carl Durrell, I mean, geez, what a way to come back into college football after all those years in the NFL, right?
Right.
I mean, as soon as you come back, you got a pandemic you got to deal with. And then NIL, then the transfer portal, all this stuff. So, it's like, welcome back, Carl. So, I think he's adjusting. And frankly, I will say this, the other side of the portal is I think teams are taking advantage of that as well. You know, a lot of CU's, transfer portal guys are people that the coaches, went to and said, hey, you're not going to play here. You need to go in the portal. And that gives teams an opportunity to get out of, it's almost, a way for teams to waive players. And I think that's what we've seen CU do a lot, a lot of teams as well. But I think that's where, one thing that we've seen, CU lost like 22 guys, but most of those were people that, they pretty much said, hey, you're not going to get much of an opportunity here. It's best to move on. So I think that's where Carl Durrell's trying to learn how to navigate. How do I manage my roster here by using the portal to our advantage?
Brian, what do you think needs to happen? I mean, we've been talking about this a lot throughout the years when the idea was really coming up. And then obviously this last year, I know we do some stuff with NIL, and I've certainly had players on that have transferred and I'm interviewing them after the fact. Some people have suggested, you go back to NIL deals, you cap if you can or something like that. Transfer portals, though, that's the interesting one because – no matter what, you got to feel like you're constantly re-recruiting these guys. To me, there seems like there's got to be some more regulation to it as we progress here, because it does feel like it's a wild, wild west, like the Jetsons, just all these spacecrafts flying all over each other.
Yeah, no question. And I'm not sure where to begin on some of the stuff with regulation, especially with NIL. I do think there will be some regulation at some point. With the transfer portal, to me, what makes the most sense, and we'll see if they go to this or not, but I think there needs to be certain periods of time that athletes have to put their name in the portal. Right now, it's a free-for-all, and you can put your name in at any time. And there is a deadline, like May 1st was a deadline to put your name in the portal to play this next year. So there is that. But I do think that they need to have, a sort of a time period, and you say, hey, you got these 2 weeks after the football season where you need to decide portal or not. And then after that, you can't go in the portal.
Yeah.
Because that allows people, I think that forces kids to make a decision. And, and I think it allows the teams to be able to manage their roster better. Because, it's tough when you get through that December period, like if you're CU, right? And they lost several good players in December. And then you start up school again in January, and all of a sudden you have another round that leaves. And you think you're already starting off-season workouts, and all of a sudden, hey, your top cornerback decides to leave, and somebody, running back decides to leave, things like that, and you're like, okay, well, now we got to regroup again. So I think there should be some sort of a two time periods, like maybe 2 weeks at the end of the season, and then 2 weeks at the end of spring ball, where you decide this is where you need to figure out, are you leaving or staying?
Brian, I have a question for you on this, and I don't know that I've ever got the answer just yet. I've even asked players before you go to the transfer portal, is there a way, and is this happening, where maybe word gets out to you that this school might want you? And again, it's from a third party, so it's not the coach, it's not his assistants, but it's somebody else that says, hey, FYI, I hear Kent State's sniffing around and could sure use a defensive lineman like you. That's the only way this is happening, right? Because I look at the UNC guy, for example, and I go, man, he seemed happy. He seemed cool. Like you said, you talk to these players and they're fine. Do they get a whiff of something and then decide? Because that's what and again, I know there are players that have bad experiences, but what about the ones that are fine with where they are and then suddenly they hear, okay, I'm being headhunted, which we're trying to avoid, but that's got to be happening, right?
Yeah, I think so. And there's ways to get around everything, right? And, you know, and I think that there's always ways to get around those things. And it could be that, I mean, think about these coaches are on the recruiting trail, right? And so let's just say the UNC player, right? And you're the head coach at Arizona State, and you like this UNC player. He's not in the portal yet, but you're recruiting, you know, kids from his high school. You tell his high school coach, man, I wish he was at Arizona State instead of UNC. We would take him in a heartbeat. Mm. Now all of a sudden his high school coach calls him and says, hey, you know what? If you go in the portal, ASU will take you. Now he leaves and he goes to ASU. So, you know, that's just a mythical example I gave there. But I think stuff like that happens. You know, it's got to happen. And there's probably some that are blatant where you might go to the player and that's illegal. But I think it's more probably third party type of thing where you say, hey, if this guy found out that we were interested, would he go in the portal? You know, I think a lot of that stuff happens.
It's crazy. It seems like such a casual thing, but so many ramifications coming from that kind of thinking, too. So it's a completely different world, Brian. Navigating through it is no doubt a difficult task. How are the Buffs fans doing after, you know, I know you had tweeted this out. I was shocked Nate Landman didn't get drafted. I mean, was it the injury situation? What was it? But that led to kind of a rough draft weekend for Buffs fans. As you pointed out, first time since what, 2016 that no Colorado Buffaloes have been drafted?
Yeah, they went 2 years in a row, 2015-16 with nobody, and then they had somebody 5 years in a row, and this was the first year without. And I was surprised. I mean, I actually thought Carson Wells was more surprising, because I think he was viewed as a better pro prospect by some people I talked to, just because of his versatility. And he is faster than Nate Landman, and you know, speed is the name of the game in the NFL. So I was surprised that neither one of them got drafted. You know, whether you know it was Nate or Carson, I thought some team would fall in love with them and you know draft them late sixth, early seventh round, something like that. But to watch the whole thing, and you know, I'm sitting there, you know, kids got musicals, all this stuff. I'm constantly you know refreshing my phone, watching every pick, waiting for them to go, and then I'm like, all right, two picks left.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was surprising. You know, I think that. And it's a bad reflection on maybe the talent at CU, but I think there's more talent at CU than that shows, and those two guys surprised me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was very shocked by that. Do you think, though, you know, obviously injuries and that kind of thing, because I know, Carr, you look at both of those guys and thinking, man, there's a good chance that they're going to be middle of the draft, kind of so to speak. So I'm with you. I was absolutely floored.
Yeah, you know, and with a guy like Carson Wells, you know, maybe I just don't know football, but I've watched this guy throughout his career. And, you know, in 2020, I know it was a shortened season. He leads the country in tackles for loss, and the Pac-12 coaches vote him honorable mention all conference. And then this last year, he's second in the conference in tackles for loss, and he's honorable mention all conference. So yeah, maybe the people that know football don't think he's that good because they're not voting him into any of these things. And then, you know, the people that know football, you know, don't draft him. So, and maybe I just don't know the game, but you know, I watch this guy and I'm like, man, that's a really good football player. And I watch Nate Landman, I think the same thing. I mean, Landman was one of the most enjoyable players I got to watch over the last several years. I mean, just he was so fun to watch play linebacker.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm with you too. I look at a lot of these local guys that we follow with the Buffs, and you know, I'm not quite sure. I would say there were a lot of Bears players that I would say obviously are going to be in the NFL. Some guys are getting some cracks at it, and good for them. But CSU, I thought there'd be more than Trey McBride. Maybe I thought if you're going to draft four punters, I thought Ryan Stonehouse might be one of those guys. So Brian, I'm with you, man. I'm looking at all this stuff. I'm like, maybe I'm just too damn close to it because there was a lot of talent in the area, and to come away with really only one guy drafted between, you know, from your neck of the woods all the way up north here is kind of astonishing to me.
Yeah, you know, four punters drafted and how, you know, one of the top two in the country doesn't get drafted is, you know, it's weird. You
it
know,
is
I,
weird.
I don't understand NFL mind sometimes, you know, it doesn't make sense. I look at some of these guys, I'm looking at, there was a guy drafted, I can't even pronounce the school, but from a school I'd never heard of. And he was a linebacker. I'm like, wait a minute. How is that guy better than Nate Landman or Carson Wells?
You right.
Know? But I don't know. And like you said, maybe we're too close to it. But, you know, I'm looking at, you know, linebackers I've never heard of that are getting drafted and thinking, geez, I thought that Nate was better than that or Carson was better than that. But, you know, I think sometimes maybe we do get too close to it. And the bottom line is there's a lot of really good football players who don't get drafted. And, you know, I look at Utah. was another one. Utah, you know, a couple of years ago had like 10 or 11 guys drafted. I think they had one this year, you know, after the season that they've had and the run they've had. So, you know, there was a ton of guys that didn't get drafted that surprised me. So, I don't know. There's a lot of really good talent out there, but I thought that those two guys, I thought Ryan Stonehouse is a draft pick, you know, so who knows? It's a crazy world.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Tend to side with you on that. Jabari Walker, how about that? So all in for the NBA draft, Brian. There's no testing the waters or anything. He is officially no longer a Buff. Am I right?
Yeah, you know, that's the word from his father, and we'll see. From what I've heard, you know, he has not yet hired an agent, and until he does that, it's not really official. You know, we'll see with him, but it does sound like he's probably all in. I mean, he's a future pro. I mean, he's got pro talent. He's a guy, whether he goes this year, goes next year, he's going to be a pro. And, you know, I can see both sides of it. I think that he could use another year in college to develop under Tad Boyle on that staff. But, you know, for a guy like that, you know, his dad's been in the NBA and, you know, he knows a lot of, you know, NBA people, maybe he benefits a lot from not worrying about school and he gets to go work on his game either with an NBA team or with a G League team, something like that. Maybe you develop that way too. So that's a guy that clearly he's going to be a pro, and apparently he's ready to go now.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think he's going to be really good once he does get into the NBA. Brian, man, always appreciate you, dude. What are you working on? We could check out. You've been all over it, so I've been following you. I was like, man, we got to get Brian back on the show very soon.
Yeah, just kind of wrapping things up from spring and kind of stockpiled some spring interviews towards the end of that session there. And so rolling out some features, and I'll have something, you know, later on this week kind of looking ahead to, you know, what the 2023 draft might look like for the Buffs. And I'm always wrong on that, but it's still fun to look at, you know, see where they might land there. So we'll have some of those things coming up.
All right, my man. I'll look forward to it. As always, Brian Howell of the Buff Zone. Brian, we'll catch up with you soon, man. 36 minutes after the hour. All right, we're going to do it. We're going to do it, man. We got the Colorado Avalanche getting set for their first round of the playoffs going up against the Nashville Predators. Jades, we're going to do the Hype House. We're going to do the Hype House, something we've been working on, pump up for big games. We're going to get going for this one, even though, you know, I'm the hockey guy. Jade's not the hockey guy. We are going to build this up. We're going to have fun with it. We're going to be following playoff hockey. I'm ready tonight. I'm going to get my game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor from New Belgium Brewing in Fort Collins. Dominga Mimosa Sour. Pick up selections from New Belgium Brewery or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight. On the Rocks Liquor, locally owned and operated, man. We love John and Tony. Great, amazing people. They're going to hook us up tonight. We're going to bring you the Hype House coming up next. 37 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick for a quick look at the Sports Flash.